There is no greater spike of the football in the end zone in the face of the father of lies than today's feast, especially since there was no small part in the declaration of the dogma as a result of the efforts of a former satanic priest. Today is a day of great celebration and joy because Christ promised that those who believe in him would experience the resurrection of the body and not just of the soul. Where Christ has gone, body, blood, soul, and divinity into heaven, his promise has proven true in someone who is not God, namely the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that where they both are, body and soul, we hope to be one day. But how do we get here to the celebration of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary? In the 6th, 5th, 7th century, there were already numerous writings by various fathers of the church and saints about Mary being in heaven, body and soul. Not by her own merits, Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father by his own authority as God and man. He ascended. It's an active verb. We have always taught that Mary was assumed. It's a passive verb into heaven, body and soul, in that by the grace and merits of her Son, Jesus Christ, and her perfect cooperation with his will, she would not experience the corruption of the body, which is the result of sin. She neither had original sin nor personal sin. So, as the Pope would later declare in 1950, at the end of her earthly life, she was taken up by the grace and merits of Christ, not her own, assumed passively into heaven, body and soul, avoiding the conflict, or rather the distinction, between the Eastern Catholic Church's understanding and the Western or Latin Catholic Church's understanding. Namely, in the East, Christians long believed that Mary, in perfect imitation of Christ, fell asleep at the end of her life and remained in the tomb asleep for 3 days, not experiencing the corruption of the body, and after 3 days was assumed into heaven, body and soul. They celebrate today the Dormition of Mary. In the West, in the Latin Church, we have taught and believed for many centuries that Mary was taken up into heaven, body and soul, while here on earth, maybe in what is modern day Turkey, where she lived with John the Beloved. And then God came with the angels and took her up into heaven, body and soul. Whether there was a 3-day dormition or not is inconsequential, and there is no conflict in the ultimate dogma we celebrate today that she was taken into heaven, body and soul, queen of heaven and earth. But we got here in large part because this dogma was declared very late. We're talking 1950. But there's been teachings about this since the 6th and 7th century. Why did it take so long? Well, in large part, it was due to the efforts of a former satanic priest. In 1846, thereabouts, Bartolo Longo was born in Italy to a very wealthy, very devout Catholic family. His father was a lawyer, but wanted his son Bartholomew, Bartolo in Italian, to be a teacher. Bartolo, being strong-willed, said, "No, I want to be like you, Dad. I'm going to study law at the University of Naples." And only because of his father's permission was he able to do so. Well, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there was a growing movement of Risorgimento in Italy, of the reunification of all the different kingdoms of Italy into one country. Remember, at that time, the Vatican city-states was its own kingdom. The Pope was his own king. He had his own land. It did not belong to the country of Italy. It belonged to the king of the Papal States, who was the Pope. And at that time, every major city was its own kingdom. Italy was not united. And there was a very strong nationalist push for the unification of Italy. And in part, opposed by the church, the people created an animosity toward Catholicism and the Pope that resulted not only in the unification of Italy, but the absorption of the Papal States by the country of Italy taken from the Pope. And so in this anti-Catholic bias toward the unification of Italy and Risorgimento, there grew up an occult and an animosity toward the church reflected not only in occultic worship and satanic worship, but also the Freemasonry. Freemasons protesting at the steps of the Vatican, being opposed to the church and its core identity being the destruction of the Catholic Church. It was around this time that many saints rose up, seeing the animosity against the church, and focused on devotion to Mary as the way to conquer and overcome. Later on, it would be St. Maximilian Kolbe with the Knights of the Immaculata. But before him, it was Bartolo Longo. So he goes to the University of Naples. He's caught up in this anti-Catholic sentiment and is sucked into literal satanic worship. As a student at the University of Naples in his early 20s, he is literally ordained a satanic priest. He begins experiencing severe mental health issues, anxiety, depression, suicidal tendencies. He's tormented by his own physical mental illness and by the demonic activity rampant in his life. A friend tells him, go and see this Dominican priest, he will help you. He goes, the priest realizes who and what he is, and tells him, before you can go to confession, you must do penance and start praying the rosary daily. He came back the next day, the priest sent him away. For a month, Bartolo Longo, tormented by mental illness and the demonic in his life, prayed the rosary daily and did penance. And at the end of that month, he went to the priest and went to confession and experienced a profound healing and liberation. From that moment on, he went back to his friends who were practicing satanic seances and masses and renounced his allegiance to the cult, held up the rosary and told them, only through Mary can we find freedom. Mary will conquer in the name of Christ all that is evil. We remember Genesis 3:15, God foreshadowing that the woman would crush the head of the serpent who attacks her heel. And so Bartolo decided as a lawyer to spend his life promoting devotion to the rosary, since that was the way in which he experienced profound healing, not just from the demonic, but also from his own mental health struggles. We know now through scientific study that just running the beads through the fingers can be a very calming effect and experience, in addition to the greater benefit of actually praying the rosary with your heart. So it has a psychological, a physical, and a spiritual benefit that is calming and healing, but above all, spiritually aligning us to the will of Christ as we meditate on the mysteries of his life and that of sacred scripture. And so, as a lawyer, he traveled Italy and wrote pamphlets about devotion to Mary. He met a very wealthy woman who helped pay for the pamphlets and his travels to promote devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as the father of lies is known to do, rumors started spreading. What is this single man doing with this wealthy single woman? They're always together, but they're not married. Could something be going on? The Pope hears of Bartolo's efforts and the great success he has with promoting devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He arrives at Pompeii for work as a lawyer, and he goes to Mass at the shrine, and he sees it's falling apart. The people are ignorant. They know nothing about the faith. He decides, I'm going to stay here, teach the faith, and restore this basilica, and build one even bigger to the honor of Mary, Our Lady of the Victory. That massive, beautiful basilica became the largest place for pilgrimage outside of the Vatican in all of Italy, thanks to his efforts. And he's buried there under the altar in a glass casket upon which I have personally celebrated Mass in Pompeii, the Basilica of Our Lady of the Victory. And so he remains teaching the faith, building this gorgeous, massive basilica and dedicating it to Our Lady of the Victory. It's packed with people from all over Italy. Rumors start to spread. He meets with the Pope and he tells the Pope, I don't know what to do. People keep talking about me and this wealthy woman. And he tells him, we'll just get married. That'll end the gossip right away. He said, but I'm called to celibacy. And so is she. He said, so is Mary and Joseph. Do the same thing. And so they married in a Josephite marriage. It's actually a thing you can do with permission from the bishop. And so they married, ended all the gossip, remained celibate their whole lives, and continued to promote devotion to Mary. His grassroots efforts of promoting devotion to Mary focused on his own mental and spiritual health by the praying of the rosary, led to such a grassroots devotion and desire for the honor of Mary that the people of God, with the bishops around the world, started bombarding the Pope with this petition that the fourth dogma of Mary be declared, namely that she is in heaven, body and soul, the dogma of the Assumption. And as a result of his efforts, dying in the early 1920s, the Pope would go on to make this a dogma because of that grassroots efforts. He went out and wrote letters to countless bishops, theologians, and laity around the world and told them, tell me what you think. What is the sense of the faithful? What is the voice of the people of God regarding this issue? And with only a very few dissenting voices, almost unanimously, the world from the top down said, no, she is in heaven, body and soul. We have no doubt. And so he proudly and joyfully declared this dogma, all because of the grassroots efforts around that time of a former satanic priest who struggled throughout his life with mental illness. The rosary is a sign, is the greatest weapon we have outside of the sacraments and the official prayer of the church to combat evil and to save our souls. Mary brings us to Jesus. Bartolo Longo, Saint Bartolo Longo, knew this. And he knew that through the rosary, we will grow closer to Jesus and conquer. And so he became a Third Order Dominican. He was buried in his Third Order habit and regalia. And today is honored, especially as we celebrate this great solemnity in honor of Mary. As we pray the rosary, we simply say the words the Archangel Gabriel said to Mary and that Elizabeth said to Mary, filled with the Holy Spirit. We venerate her, not worship, because she brought us Jesus and she will bring us to Jesus. There is no more sure, perfect, direct, and certain way to Jesus than through her, according to St. Louis de Montfort. And so today we celebrate with all of heaven and earth this great solemnity of the Assumption of Mary into heaven, body and soul, proof of Christ's promise that what he has said is true in her and may be true in each one of us if we are faithful to him until the end. He who has promised that when I return, I will take you to myself so that where I am, you may also be, body and soul.